Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here. But Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk, the anxiety-provoking educators educating. Wait, educators who talk education, who are educated. That's the way we say it. Educators, educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, the president of Trinity Washington University, Pat McGuire. Cancel culture. Check out her piece in Inside Higher Education. Let's cancel culture. Pat, we talked a little bit about the fact that maybe the left in the academy has a little bit of ownership in the cancel realm to talk about how we might be better at that. But let's not get into a both sidesism here. Mm-hmm. Because what you are really talking about in this piece, and I said this during the break, you know what? Hardcore authoritarian fascism, exclusion of the truth. Yeah, we're not going to put up with that.
Right.
In fact, let's be honest. Let's be right here, right now on Busted Pencils. Right. That's not cancel culture. That's fascism.
Well, that's absolutely correct. When somebody says that you can't have the 1619 Project book in your library, or somebody says you can't have Nicole Hannah Jones speak on your campus, that you have to take these textbooks, math textbooks, out of the curriculum. My God, that is not cancel culture. That is authoritarianism run rampant. It is outright censorship, which is such a fundamentally corrosive condition in any free society. Where it all gets bollocked up, I've long said that liberals, Democrats and liberals, and sometimes they're the same or not, don't know how to fight back very strong. They're just we tend to be wimpish sometimes. So, for example, if I decide that I do not want to invite, let's say, Stephen Miller, who was the architect of the terrible immigration policies of the Trump administration, if I decide I have no interest in inviting Stephen Miller to talk on my campus because 10% of my students are undocumented, we have a huge immigrant population here, somebody might accuse me of cancel culture for not inviting a provocative right winger who, frankly, never told the truth in 4 years that he worked in that administration. So why would I invite that? Now, I would invite somebody who maybe had a different point of view about immigration policy, who maybe was in favor of a strict immigration policy. And this is where we as academics have to distinguish between the demagogues and the provocateurs and the people who actually have ideas that we should listen to, whether we agree with the ideas or not. And there was a time where you could actually have ideas across the spectrum and have a good, robust debate of what is a sensible border policy. And you can't have that debate today because everything becomes inflamed. And if you say, well, I don't want that person because that person does not bring truth or efficacy to learning, then suddenly you're canceling. You know, and you're unable to get at the actual instructional value of having any speaker at all.
Well, I'm glad you point that out because that's what I think, you know, the taking advantage of the ability of an academic institution such as yours or any of the places I've been to make a decision about who to invite to campus. And usually if we're an educational institution, as you said, let's bring somebody to campus. It may not be in line with what people here might think, but the fact is that we're going to have this discussion. Mm-hmm. Making that decision is not the same decision as when somebody says, will you invite provocateur X to campus, right, Pat? And you say, well, I don't really think I will. Oh, so you're going to cancel the right, aren't you, President McGuire? Way to go. You're not going to allow this bomb thrower to come in and upset. No, okay, right. we want, though, to have healthy discussions. And I think, how do we get back? Maybe because I don't want to give ground on the fact of what you were saying is that because the censorship by the authoritarian right is not cancel culture. And so I want to make sure that we call that out constantly. And also, I want to also give you thanks as a leader, a president of a higher education institute, to step up and point this out and to have the courage to say, we in academia need to be calling this out in a way that first says fascism, authoritarianism, no, you're not going to have that. And that's not us canceling. However, we do need to be a little bit more able to be offended in the academy, because being offended sometimes might actually lead us to go, oh my goodness, I never thought of it that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't protect students from things that will hurt their feelings, from statements that will hurt their feelings or make them feel angry or make them feel unloved at times, you know, as harsh as that may sound. So, you know, we can get into issues. I mean, racial issues are clearly one of the white hot centers of this. How do you have a discussion about racial equity and justice that everyone feels comfortable about? Well, frankly, you can't. Most of those discussions are terribly uncomfortable, and somebody is going to walk away mad. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have the discussion. Of course you should have the discussion. My institution, Trinity in Washington, went from being predominantly white, Catholic, traditional residential liberal arts. Today, we're a predominantly Black and Hispanic serving institution, serving very low income students in Washington. We had to talk about race all the time in order to get to where we are, and social class too. And believe me, those were not easy discussions. And even today, they're still not easy discussions. And being a Catholic institution, there's another layer in there about what you're allowed to discuss as a religiously affiliated institution. And I took the position early on, there will be no censorship here. And I think presidents need to be clear that there will be no censorship, but there also will not be a kind of both sidesism where you wind up inviting people who have absolutely no learning content to what they have to say. They are just bomb throwers. And whether they're left or right, you know, if somebody is not credible as a teacher, and I mean teacher in the broadest possible sense, then I don't want to take up our time on campus to hear from them.
Well, and that's just to put that out there like that. I love that to say it. It's like, you know, we have you as a leader in higher education have a responsibility to continue to push the boundaries of learning and to possibly make people uncomfortable, but also be a leader to say, I'm not going to provide a platform from somebody on the extreme left. I'm not going to provide a platform for somebody on the extreme right, just so they can come in here and try to actually get more Twitter followers after they've, you know, been run out. All those reasons that they do this. It's crazy. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It is President Patricia McGuire, Trinity Washington University. We are talking about cancel culture. Pat, can I get you for one more segment?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Okay. Well, when we get back, then we will also take any phone calls that are there. Busted Pencils.